Coming up on This Week in Computer Hardware, new AMD Ryzen CPUs. Kaby Lake G is here from Intel. News from Dell, Lenovo, HyperX, Ribbon Networks, LG, Samsung, TCL, and quite a bit more. It's all coming up next on Twitch.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twitch.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, episode 448, recorded on January 11th, 2018. CES 2018 Hardware Extravaganza. This episode of This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/twitch and use the code TWITCH30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Greetings from CES 2018. I'm Patrick Norton. This is obviously not Mr. Ryan Shroud, who has some time zone figuring out difficulties and, in theory, hopefully, is still in a plane bound back to Lexington. So joining us, Mike Spicer, PalSack.org.
Thanks so much for having me. This is amazing.
Goodness. What are you at PalSack.org?
Mostly, this is just my website where I do cool projects. I've been to DEF CON, a bunch of other conferences. This is like my 10th year at CES. So I blog about that a little bit on there. I don't keep it up as often as I should, but I'm working on it. So yeah, go check it out if you want to check out some of my blogs and some of my shenanigans from past years. So
you may hear a great deal of noise in the background right now. And that's because there's a gentleman a couple of booths over who wants to make sure everyone in the city of Las Vegas knows that his crappy speaker sounds awful and more awful the louder you turn it up. So if I suddenly start going like this, it's because my eardrums are about to collapse into the center of my skull. We were talking earlier, and you had a picture of Samsung's website.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, LG and Samsung, it seemed like they were much more interested in making sure, there was a demo on Monday. You know, LG comes out, and voice commands through a speaker is silly. You should have a complicated robot with artificial intelligence that will know how to set the washing machine so that you don't have to. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, like, I have an LG washing machine. I love my LG washing machine. To do the workout gear in the LG washing machine, I go bink, bink, and it starts. Do you feel that you need to have a conversation or have an artificial intelligence try to figure out what you're going to put into the washing machine when?
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of like movies like Chappie in this. Sure. And so I think it's great that we're moving in this direction.
Right.
Is it practical right now? And can I afford it? Probably not. But well, I so I'm super open to this idea of it. So we'll just have to see where it goes. I am excited, though, about some of the innovation. I don't think that they're thinking about some of the security aspects of it. How's that robot secured? How's it, you know? But the hardware and stuff, I think it's important that they're driving it forward, especially seeing it prevalent this year.
You had a sort of a picture of a wall full of Internet of Things kind of connected devices, mm-hmm. and your comment was basically, look at all the points of entry.
Yeah, I mean, you basically got a whole mesh now, whether it's on wireless or some of them are physically connected. But essentially, each of these devices are some kind of a sensor, whether they're a camera or smoke alarms or your temperature sensor. There's some sort of entry point, some sort of collection of data that's happening there. Where's all that data being aggregated to? And almost every single person here is pitching it for the cloud. Yeah. So with like the Samsung, they're bringing out their new fully interconnected everything from your fridge. Mm-hmm. They want your fridge to be your central portal, and then everything else connects to there. So it knows when you're home. It knows when you're doing things to even, the doors locks on your house. So it's like, can we trust these companies? We need to check that out and make sure. And then, but ultimately, I like the convenience side of it, but we'll have to see sure it makes sense.
I'm going to say you're tempted by the convenience side.
Right,
of it.
Right.
Well, I mean, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a few years ago, and he's like, I got a Bluetooth door lock. And I was like, he's like, no, it's secure. It's using the same technology used to secure car doors. And I started laughing, and he's like, what's so funny? I'm like, search DEF CON Bluetooth car lock. And there's like 3, 2, 1, delete expletive, gotta go, click. And, it's funny because that's one of the things I got to see Netgear's booth this morning and look at the new Orbi stuff. They have a waterproof outside Orbi or Netgear's booth, a Netgear Orbi waterproof adapter. We're going to talk about that on TechThing in a couple weeks. But I'm excited because I only have the Netgear Orbi in the back of my house. Mm-hmm. It's giving 50 megabits per second to the garage through, like, you know, the garage wall, two steel cabinets, and like 30 feet.
Impressive.
So apparently I can actually significantly increase that. But the one of the things they were showing off was a new service they're starting with Bitdefender, where Bitdefender is going to be like scanning all of your packets, you know, looking at URLs, trying to prevent. There are so many opportunities right now. You know, Fingbox is hardware. They were telling me, so Fingbox is a device that basically tracks all of the things connected to your home network. And they have a really, if you've never checked out the Fing app, check out the Fing app. It started as the app, and these guys got acquired. They did a big, I want to say Indiegogo hardware.
That sounds all right.
You know, could be Kickstarter. My apologies to Kickstarter and Indiegogo. but the... They're starting to add additional features, right? They sold like 20,000 through the original funding project, and they've shipped 10,000 since then. And now they're like, okay, we're going to create, you know, maybe geofencing, or we're going to know when the boyfriend's cell phone is at the house, or if we suddenly find there's 200 devices in the house trying to access the Wi-Fi or pinging the Wi-Fi, then we know there's a party, and we'll alert you that there's a party in the house, and it's time to, you know, come home and kick the snot out of your teenager. But it seemed like there's this big, especially from Samsung and LG. They're like, you know, the message comes down to, we've got stuff that doesn't work in our demos that will make your life easier, because click click is really hard. Or, you know, you can't keep track of the expiration date on your meat or something like that. And I admit, I like the idea of being my refrigerator warning me, you know, your chicken will expire in 2 days. But, you know, if I have to manually enter in the fact, you know, oh, I scan the chicken with the barcode reader and then I enter in the expiration date, and then I have to worry about my refrigerator nagging at me because I haven't used the chicken.
Yeah.
You're feeling it?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. And I don't think that those industries are going to, like, put QR codes or anything like that anytime soon. So I think that, you know, it's going to be a tough problem to solve. So
It's like you're sitting there like, okay, chicken 2/14/2018, funk, milk. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. Like, there's an app to make it easier, but...
I imagine you'll probably see next year at CES a camera, so it scans it and OCRs as you put it
in. Well, they do seem to be working on the scanners, but I don't think there's any expiration date information in the barcodes. And if, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about and all the expiration date is in the barcode, please tweet at Patrick Norton. But you know, it was you know, Samsung, LG, TCL, Sony were all talking about their new televisions. We'll have Robert Heron on soon to talk about that. The big deal with Samsung's showing, you know, kind of doing tech demos that show that, you know, LED can look just about as good as OLED, at least in a very specific controlled demo setting.
That micro LED that, you know, they're calling it micro LED. So it'll call it LED. It's micro. I was impressed by it. Yeah. I really was. Like, last year I saw the QLED stuff. I was impressed by that. Again, they just keep pushing the bar up. So it's awesome to see.
It's good. I mean, one of the things Robert Harris says, like, I didn't really think they could push the color that much on the LG's OLEDs. He said they did.
Yeah.
You know, TCL had a very good year based off that 55-inch television that was kind of the best of television. Like, the Wirecutter picked it, Netflix picked it. We talked about an AVXL as being like, you got $650, you want 4K HDR, this is the television to buy.
Well, and Roku built in.
And Roku built
which
in.
Which is awesome.
Roku 8 is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, I love it. I totally agree.
But, you know, TCL's delivered some new televisions, and they were pointing out that they are finishing up, I guess it'll come online in 2020, they're spending like another $7 billion on a fab to create 65 and 75-inch flat panels.
That's incredible.
So they are like the third vertically integrated television manufacturer. And I didn't realize apparently they make all their own screens.
I didn't know that either.
So.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. So we can expect a whole bunch of larger televisions coming up from TCL. Some of the technologies they talked about were more marketing than actual utility, but basically the glass looks good. Roku is an excellent choice for an operating system for a television if you have to have an operating system in a television, and the glass looks good. But
Totally agree.
Oh, my goodness. You were excited about AMD.
Oh, so excited about AMD. I went over and visited their booth. And if you come to CES, the one place you should always visit is the AMD booth because right. they have food and they got really cool stuff. And it's really laid back. It's over at the Sands. So it's kind of out of the way. It's in a suite. It's right. not a typical booth. So it's a great one. But they have some really awesome stuff coming out.
So second generation Ryzen CPUs are going to show up in April. And the thing that made me giddy is that they're basically saying your existing motherboard, pull the old Ryzen out, put the new Ryzen in, boom, you're good to go. You may need a BIOS update, but they didn't, you know, unlike certain chip manufacturers I might name, they're not like, oh, new chip, let's make sure they buy a new motherboard. I get angry about that, but they're just saying it's basically the first 12-nanometer Zen Plus processor, or basically running a 12-nanometer, higher clocks, Precision Boost 2 technology. There's not a lot of detail, but you know, again, they're going to shrink it from 14-nanometer to 12-nanometer. Still doing Global Foundries is still building them. It is not Zen 2. That's coming next year, but essentially, you know, it's kind of an Intel TikTok kind of situation, it feels like, right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying the Precision Boost is going to be more gradual and consistent in the speed shifts. And they're looking at, you know, I'm going to have to lean forward because I don't have my reading glasses on. But on the 2018 rollout, right, premium desktops, Ryzen first generation, Threadripper first generation, Ryzen Pro first generation, that was 2018. They've got the desktop APUs coming out in Q1, the second generation Ryzen CPUs in Q2, and then the second half of the year is going to be the Ryzen Pro and the Ryzen Threadripper. I just like the fact that somebody decided that AMD decided that we're going to deliver all these cores for comparable prices of considerably less powerful Intel processors.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a really good, like, really practical right. entry point where they went to. And I personally have a Threadripper, and I loved it to death. It's amazing. So, I'm super excited to see what these guys do in the next year. So,
The other thing that came out is so Intel announced they were partnering, you know, in the sort of like cats and dogs sleeping together mode of things. Intel announced back in November the Kaby Lake G, which is going to be 8th-gen CPUs with Radeon Vega M graphics. For super powerful laptops with super powerful graphics on the die. That was kind of crazy. And they basically, they've officially revealed it. It's launched. I'm going to read the title out from the PC Per article that Ryan wrote up. The 8th generation Intel Core processors with Radeon RX Vega M graphics. That's the official name of this processor. It essentially creates an H series of mobile processor parts for laptop lineups. And the big thing of this is it's such a shot across the bow of NVIDIA because it makes it much less expensive and much easier to integrate performance graphics. It's also Intel admitting that we can't catch up on graphics, at least not in any, you know, short time frame.
Right. Well, one of the other things, too, that I think is going to be caused by this is the bandwidth that you're getting by putting it directly on the chip, too. Right. So, I mean, that's huge by itself.
It's a pretty neat architecture, right? Because you've got like an 8th-gen Intel Core processor. You've got – it's funny because the Vega M graphics module looks like it's twice the size of the Core processor. then it's got 4 gigs of high bandwidth memory. They're doing HBM2 connection to that. They're doing PCIX connection back to the Core processor. It's going to be interesting to see what battery life is on this.
I wonder if they'll have like a limp mode where they've done that on the Intel chips where they'll shut down with the other integrated chips.
Well, it's funny because it's also going to have Intel, you know, regular, you know, power sipping Intel graphics on the die too to help maximize battery life. But you're looking at, my understanding is it's going to be a little bit faster, you know, like 10 to 40% faster than GTX 1050 in a mobile application and maybe a few percentage points faster in some tests than a GTX 1060.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Pricing, we don't know, but you can expect all your favorite high-zoot laptop manufacturers because they're like, it's a gaming laptop. It's a portable workstation laptop processor. Buy our laptop processors and call them Kaby Lake G.
It'll be interesting, too, to see like how thin that creates these laptops because, I mean, we're already seeing some very thin laptops.
Right.
And then now having all the heat in one centralized place. It'd be easy to spread it out a lot easier, making your cooling solution smaller. So I'm pretty excited about that.
One of the fun things, we're going to talk about this later in the show, but we had talked about it a couple weeks ago on Tech Thing. We talked about it on on This Week in Computer Hardware. But the Dell XPS 13, you know, rose gold carbon, but it's crazy to realize that they, you know, they made it a little tiny bit thinner, and then they completely redesigned the cooling system inside of that. And then they did things like, you know, a Gore thermal insulation, and there's aerogel inside of it. And they're working really hard to contain the heat in the heat pipes away from the keyboard, away from the laptop. You know, they sort of reconfigure the fan design. You know, they're using a carbon fiber. And it's funny because their carbon fiber, actually, apparently a lot of it is reclaimed. And the other thing they had was a huge presentation about how they are recycling like millions of tons or millions of pounds probably of old laptops and other electronics. And they figured out like a ton of motherboards or a ton of PCBs, a ton of computer PCBs contains like 800 times as much gold as a ton of gold ore. So they're making so much. They're using all the gold they can. They're gonna have like a special sort of recycled gold edition, you know, computer coming up. But they did a partnership with a jewelry designer to use the gold that they've reclaimed that they cannot manage to use in their attempt to make this closed loop system for recycling. That was kind of a fun thing to hear them talk about. You a fan of Lenovo's, the X1 Carbon, the X1 Yoga?
A little bit. I always walk by the booths and check them out. I've used Lenovo's for a very long time, and so I like the direction that they're going.
Yeah, the Carbon X1 was announced. The Yoga X1 was announced. 8th-gen processors. I thought it was interesting. They're basically getting like a Dolby Vision certified HDR screen. So if you constantly travel and you want sort of a 3K near 4K HDR laptop experience, and your corporation is due to give you a solid new notebook, you know, the Yoga and the Carbon are going to be able to give you your favorite Netflix series and movies that are available in 4K HDR in HDR on your laptop. That's the long sentence. Other than that, you know, they're X1s. They're nice laptops. They're pretty bomb-proof. Keyboards still feel really good, too.
And then battery life, too. Didn't they extend the battery life a few hours with
it
these latest gens?
I'm still thinking I'm hallucinating on the battery life, so I've been quoted for a lot of that.
I know, right? I want to see real-world application of these 16
hours,
and
20
yeah,
hours.
Yeah.
22 hours.
Everybody gets hours
with the Wi-Fi turned off. Not really how I use my laptop.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be fun to see a lot of these products ship. The other thing Lenovo had was the Mirage VR camera and untethered motion tracking Daydream headset, which is essentially all the components from a cell phone you need inside of a VR headset, which is cool, right? Because if you've ever strapped your phone into a Daydream, it's kind of a pain in the ass, and not to take anything away from that. But what was, I thought, even cooler was the Mirage VR camera, and they're like, you know, we feel that people want to, that's the one right there. You know, people want to create, you know, VR content, but it's really difficult. So what they created was this point-and-shoot kind of stereoscopic camera, and it does a 180-degree spear, so it has a tremendous sense of sort of depth, but there's nothing behind you, so you don't turn around, right? Mm-hmm. There's the stuff in front of you. You can look. You know, they had a demo where there was a family cooking and people walking behind each other and lots of bright colors. You know, it's like 30 frames per second, which is not my favorite, but it was still, there's not even a monitor on the back because you sort of, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the giant redwood tree. I'm, you know, looking at my kids playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a regular camera mode too, but that was kind of fascinating to see, you know, the first steps on making, you know, your own VR environments really simple.
Yeah, I would totally be down for trying that out. Yeah, so if you want to ship me one, you know, feel free. I'll come
it's
test
cheap.
It out.
They're talking about like the Daydream headset being, well, you know, relatively inexpensive, but compared to the cost of a really nice phone.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about, I think they're looking for $400 for the headset and $300 for the camera.
Yeah, so, not bad. I mean, to get that sort of immersive VR that easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down for trying that.
We'll see. We'll see. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and of course, HTC Vive Pro was announced this week, which is an HTC Vive, but more. Take a moment to point out that this episode of This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by IT Pro TV. With the new year comes resolutions. right? Whether you're looking to jazz up your resume or you're considering an exciting new career in tech, make your professional resolutions a reality this year with IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of on-demand training with more than 125 hours added weekly. Stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide via Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, PC, or by using their iOS or Android apps. IT Pro TV does IT Live every single day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training. Courses include Certified Ethical Hacker, Kali Linux, Linux Security Techniques, ITIL, ISC Squared, Security Certs, and more. And be sure to check out their calendar for upcoming courses. Advance your IT career and prepare for the certifications you're interested in. CRISC, SIPS, CISM, CISA, or SEH, all of which I probably should just say as letters with IT Pro TV's individual membership. Check out IT Pro TV's team solution for group pricing and access to the IT Pro TV supervisor portal. You gain full control over your team's training schedule. You can create custom groups, training assignments, see individual and group analytics. You can view logins, viewing time, video downloads, course completion tracking, and more. You never have to say, Bob, did you finish that course? And wonder if Bob actually opened up the video. Join the more than 85,000 IT Pro TV members today. Check out itpro.tv/twitch and find out how IT Pro TV can offer you or your team the best IT training solution. You're going to get a free 7-day trial when you sign up for an individual monthly membership using the offer code TWITCH30. You'll also receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. If you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solution, you can also sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal. Go to itpro.tv/TWICH and use the code TWICH30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off. Friendly training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. And we want to thank IT Pro TV for their support of This Week in Computer Hardware. Oh, my goodness. What was your, you know, as you're wandering around, was there any particularly odd object or delightful object or?
The probably the most kind of odd but slightly delightful at the same time was the Beam telepresence devices. So I walk by and there's this guy that's sitting there and he's like, hey, you. And I'm like, me? He's like, yeah, me. And so I started talking to him and he's not here. He's somewhere, I think, Wisconsin or something.
Right.
And it's like, I'm sitting here carrying on a conversation. Apparently, that equipment only requires 1 megabit of internet connection. He doesn't have anything special at his house, and he can drive the robot around. I'm like, do you ever run into people? You know, like, is this a problem? He's all, well, I try not to because they have a pretty wide field of view. But I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool, a neat way to kind of telepresence. So I'm definitely interested in seeing where that technology goes. And
we've played around. We have, there's one of those in the Hack 5 warehouse.
I saw that Darren or Seb was on an episode with one remotely.
I feel like picking it up and hugging him, which always freaks Sebastian out. But yeah, no, those things are pretty amazing. Gosh, we saw, you know, there's corners here where you're looking at like some of the strangest security cams, you know, built into teddy bears, and, you know, Bluetooth speakers of every color, shape, size.
Yep.
Techniques has reissued the 1200 turntable, which has people going nuts. There's crazy, 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 crazy array of hardware here. And the other thing is maybe a little more to the heart of our audience. HyperX announced a new wireless gaming headset, the HyperX Cloud Flight. And it's a good-looking piece of hardware. We didn't get a chance to test it, but they're using a dongle, so they're not worried about Wi-Fi or Bluetooth for the connectivity. Just give a little more bandwidth for the audio. And it's a HyperX headset. It feels light on your ears, doesn't crush your head. And I'm kind of curious to see what the audio quality is like when that ships later this year. And they're claiming 30 hours of battery life on a single charge when you're using that 2.4 gigahertz connection. Volume controls are in a really, really convenient place, and you know, don't turn them up all the way because they're claiming like a 106 dB max if you turn it up all the way, which will pretty much make your eardrums meet in the center of your skull. If you run out of battery life, you can run a standard, you know, headphone, 3.5 millimeter headphone cable into it to keep it working.
Yeah, which is nice because, hey, sometimes the wireless just doesn't work.
Or you forget to charge it, and you got that big game coming up.
Right.
$159.99. It is actually available now. Yeah, it was nice. They also had some really crazy memory there, which we'll talk about next week, where they are using, working with a bunch of motherboard manufacturers, kind of big motherboard manufacturers, to add their memory into the color patterns on the motherboard.
Yeah.
And then it basically connects to one piece of memory, and then that memory tells the next, you know, one, two, three, or four modules. They connect via IRs, sort of readers in between the memory modules. So if for some reason you like slide a postcard in between two of the modules, it will stop. You know, like your one will remain programmed, and then everything that's blocked from the IR signal in between the memory modules.
That's crazy.
It's an insane piece of engineering.
Right.
Like, we did this incredible thing so your memory LEDs can match the rest of your PC.
Which is truly the most important thing ever, right? You've got to have cohesive lighting situation.
Oh, it's all about the battle stations, people. Man, what else? Rivet Networks partners with Intel for the killer wireless AC1550. This seems like we saw a new gaming router and a gaming switch, or sorry, a high power gaming switch, mm-hmm. With two 10 gigabit Ethernet ports in it. I saw that this morning, and also has the ability through their management software to control the lighting.
Yeah.
John, just on the box itself, but on the individual ports on
aesthetics are important, obviously.
Aesthetics are important, but it was cool to see that. Like, and then I was interesting. It was interesting to see Rivet starting to work with more people, right? Because they did the router that worked with the Rivet NICs last year with Linksys. That seems to be a sort of expensive routers are all going towards gaming.
Yeah.
And reducing latency or having really, really cool software. We'll talk more about the NetGear stuff
next week. Well, I think with like prevalence of 4K, you're going to start seeing people want to get into that arena too. So.
Well, it's funny though, because the bandwidth they're offering is so beyond what you even need if you're doing like five concurrent 4K streams in your house.
True.
You know, I did like on the new network software or the new Netgear software. It was really amazing to see like they set it up so that you can geofence the IPs you're willing to play again, like the servers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that like, you know, anybody beyond this far or people in this state, you can basically draw a circle around your house and expand it or adjust it so that you avoid IP addresses in different parts. If you have, you know, or you can block IP addresses from servers that are consistently poor performers, or you can keep that guy from, you know, the other side of the world from logging into your Overwatch games, completely destroying everybody's performance. But yeah, it's, you know, so Rivet's basically partnered with Intel to do a wireless adapter. I would really like to see I want to see Rivet do some standalone cards again. So, because I've got a whole bunch of machines that I don't particularly want to buy a brand new motherboard to put a killer NIC inside of them. But the idea of a killer NIC sounds really, really tempting. you know, unless this actually, no, there it is. Yeah. Full 160 megahertz channel support, a theoretical maximum throughput speed of 1.73 gigabits per second.
Yeah, that's
very
impressive.
Theoretical. 160 megahertz channel. This is faster than gigabit Ethernet and twice the speed of standard 2x2 11AC products, which is good because it should be a 4x4 11AC products. I'd be curious to see how it goes.
One thing I was talking to some people about on this as well, they're saying that they've got additional like smart technology in there too, so it's always looking for the noise and reevaluating what's the most optimal channels and things like that. And so it's interesting to see kind of some intelligence being put into how the access point works. So, you know, if you are in a noisier environment, you may get closer to those theoretical throughput speeds. So you don't see that from a lot of other companies really caring about true throughput.
No, but it's nice when they do. Oh my goodness. Next week, Ryan Shroud will be back. We're going to get more in depth on the new APUs from AMD, some of the AMD laptop stuff, more of the hardware we saw. We'll get Robert Herron on in a couple weeks to talk about the new screens that have come out at CES 2018, because there's a lot of shiny out there, whether
super shiny.
You have no money or all of the money. And I'm also going to say one thing to you for true total 4K HD performance, 10,000 nits. Robert was drooling at the end of that demo. That's all I'm going to say about that one.
Yeah.
Palzac.org is a place to find Mike Spicer's work.
Thank you
so much for joining us today.
Yeah, this is a pleasure. This
is
a blast.
Thank you so much for watching. It's cool, man. The there's a big glass door in this box we're sitting in right now, and somebody just did something really funny, which I won't describe because this is a family show. With that, ladies and gentlemen, twit.tv/Twitch is the place to find all of our older episodes and information on how to subscribe. You can actually tweet at me at Patrick Norton, where you can tweet. Do you do Twitter?
Yeah, Dark Matter, D4RKM4TTER.
Serious lead stuff, people. Be careful. And palsack.org. You can find more of me at techthing.com and avxl.com. Ryan Shroud is normally at pcper.com, which has been bombing out the coverage of CES 2018. Oh, and I almost forgot possibly my favorite product, which I don't think we discussed earlier. But let's get make sure you get a picture of that. EVGA's 2,200 watts, 80-plus platinum power supply.
So many watts.
I have – this must be for Bitcoin miners. It's all I can say. 2,200 watts. Sebastian's got the write up there.
That's like six or eight graphics cards.
It's
you
like
can
a 200
one in there.
You need a you need a dryer connection. 220 volts. You know, you can't run this over 120 hertz. You need like a 220 volt.
And you got to have like 12 gauge wire.
Yes.
Ran in the wall, so that's a concern now too. Be careful what you run to your outlets.
Do not light your house on fire with your Bitcoin mining machines. Just saying. And with that, I swear we're completely done. I'm Patrick Norton.
Mike Spicer.
Thank you so much for joining us in this episode of This Week in Computer Hardware. We'll see you next week. Oh my goodness. Thanks so much, man.
Dude, that was awesome.
I'm glad
that
you enjoyed
was so
it.
Much fun.